Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you're hearing me, we're having a bit of technical difficulties, and my guests, I know you're on the line. I am having some technical difficulties, so as soon as I can get you on the air, I will. So if you're there, still just bear with me. And we're going to be up and running, hopefully, real soon. I am not sure what is happening here. I have been on since 9:30, and we're just not, technology has a mind of its own. So just bear with me until we get up. Greg, I thank you for your patience. And we are just diligently working on getting on. So for the listeners, if there are listeners in the chat room, just bear with me. We're having a bit of technical difficulties again, as I say. And I pray that this will be resolved as soon as possible. So just bear with me. And I'm just trying to get back on again. And to see, still cannot get Greg. I thank you for holding on. I know that Greg is there. He has been there. And I have been on since 9:30. Unfortunately, technology is not my friend this morning. So I am just not sure what is happening here. So, Greg, just bear with me here. I know we lost 3 minutes. And not so sure what is going on. My next best thing maybe is to get on the telephone until I sort this thing out. So I think this is what I may need to do. So just bear with me, Greg, as I call in. We are really having difficulties this morning. I'm not getting on. I'm not sure what is happening. And we are just having a lot of
I'm not sure, Greg. I apologize. Just bear with me. I am here trying to get on. And we are just having a lot of difficulties. I'm on the phone and I cannot even get on to my show. So if there's anyone listening who can call into Blog Talk, please call in and help to get me some help here. Let them know that you cannot hear the A New Day show. And I am on, I call in, they need me to use a certain system. I did that, and I am still not getting in. So, I am not sure what to do here. Oh. Hello, good morning, Greg. Greg, can you hear me? Hello, Greg? Well, I do apologize to my listeners. I am having extreme technical problems. I am not able to get on to Blog Talk. So if you are listening, I know my guests have been on the line for a long time, and I can see him on the switchboard, but I just cannot hear him, and I think he cannot hear me either. So I am trying all I can do to get back on. I know we have an amazing show lined up for you today. Today's guest is the master negotiator himself, Mr. Greg Williams. And after Greg, I have Chantel Pitts, who is a extremely great graphic designer and business image consultant out of New York. So I have these two great guests lined up for you, and I'm just praying that we'll be able to get on air soon. So I am just here trying something else to see whether or not I can work both the computer and the telephone at the same time in order to get the show to you. So I owe you, Greg. I think if I don't get you on in time for your full hour, I'll need to have you back. But please bear with me. I wish I had total control over this technology. Unfortunately, I do not. So I'm just doing my best to get it up and running here so I can deliver to my listeners what I promised them, because I know Greg is a master at his craft, and He has some great information for the guests today, but technology is preventing us from having him up on the air. So bear with me. I am praying that we will be able to get Greg up and running soon and get myself up and running soon here. So for those prior warriors out there who are listening, send a prayer up for the A New Day show right now so these technologies will function like they were manufactured to function and that we can get this educational information out to the listeners. So send some prayers up, listeners, if you are hearing me. I am not sure whether or not you are hearing me. So I am just doing everything I can here to get online again. So Joe, bear with me. Greg.
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yes.
No, I can. Yes, I am just, I apologize, Greg. I know you have been on for a long time. I'm just having technical difficulties. So right now, I am working the show with a phone and a computer, which is not supposed to happen, but I had to do what I have to do. So I owe you, my brother.
And without
any further ado, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners for me?
Yes, Daphne, no problem at all. And believe me, I definitely understand how technical difficulties can belie the best laid plans of mice and men.
Yes.
My name is Greg Williams, and I am known as you indicated a moment ago, the Master Negotiator. And as such, I teach individuals and corporations how to maximize the usage of their resources by becoming better negotiators. Now, Daphne, one thing that we tend not to do in the United States is actually negotiate stringently / hard enough for mm-hmm. the maximization of our resources. And as a result of that, we tend to let things go, as it were, whereby we could obtain more if we but try to negotiate a little harder, a little bit more mm-hmm. stringently for those things.
Right.
So
right.
My background is actually in teaching.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I need to tell the listeners that you and I met, you know, I am such a lover for technology because you and I communicated via technology for a number of years until you journeyed up to Connecticut from New Jersey to be on the A New Day TV show because I am such a believer in your teachings and your principles, and I have spoken with many people whose lives you have impact and change with your technique. And I said, you know, I have to get this gentleman up to Connecticut. And you came up, and I tell you, Greg, for every town that show airs in, the phone rings off the hook because people are no longer looking at negotiation as a terrible thing and as a thing that, oh, this is what I have to settle for. You are now opening the door for them to say, no, you don't settle, but you negotiate for what's best for you. So I thank you for the commitment that you have made to that topic or subject, if you may.
You're more than welcome, Daphne.
And I know, and I'm not going to let you get off the hook without telling people, where and how did you learn the art and skill of negotiating?
Well, you know, that question has been posed to me many a times throughout my career, and some people marvel at the answer. The answer is
mm-hmm.
I began the insight and art of learning to negotiate at the knee of my mother. My mother would stretch her resources tremendously by always negotiating for a better deal, a better deal, a better deal. And as such, I used to watch some of the techniques that she used. And my mother was not even a college graduate, and she did finish high school. But I say that to say she had the intuition to stretch dollars by being able to negotiate better. And as I progressed through my career, I ended up in college. I took business courses. I also majored in psychology or minored in psychology. And then I started understanding the fact that I could not only negotiate, but by learning more about negotiations, I started to become good at it. And then as I progressed even further in my career, I started working for an organization whereby I did a lot of negotiating. And in that capacity, I really was able to hone my skills, because then I started taking on the art of being able to decipher, read, interpret body language. And one thing about being able to read and interpret body language when you're negotiating is the fact that words will be spoken to convey a certain meaning, which will be put there for the purpose of moving a particular negotiator down one path versus another. If by you observe, if you by chance observe the body language that the words are being conveyed through at the same time that those two are coming together, the body language and the words, you can decipher when the truth is being spoken as opposed to the thought that the body is conveying being something different. And the body never lies. That's the thing.
That's right.
We will do things with our body to compensate for a lie, and that thing that we do will be manifested in a cover-up. For example, if someone is speaking and they're saying something along the lines of, I really believe what you're saying, and I really want to help you do this, and at the same time they have their hand over their mouth, they are telling you with words that they want you to believe that they will assist and help you. But what they're really doing is literally trying to hold the words back from coming out of their mouth. They are saying through their nonverbal language, their body language, that I really don't believe what I'm saying, and I probably will not adhere to what it is that I'm saying. Same thing if somebody happens to be talking and they are telling you, well, you know, I really do believe in what I'm hearing. Now, understand, that person is now speaking to you from an auditory perspective, and he or she is saying, I hear. At the same time, what they're doing, if they're covering their ear or playing with their ear, is saying, I really don't want those words to reach my ear.
Exactly.
So you really have to listen to what's occurring when you're negotiating and observing the body language of someone, and I've been able to master those traits, as it were, which is why I now carry the title, The Master Negotiator.
Yes, and you know, Greg, I affirm strongly every point you just mentioned, because for those coaches or counselors and other professionals, because it doesn't matter who is listening to this call now or later on, we business people, we are dealing with individuals, unless you are a manufacturer, and even manufacturers that deal with a staff too. I tell people, observe the total package. And a lot of times I'm working with individuals, and they say something in words, and their body is telling me something entirely different. And I call them on it. And I said, what you just said to me is two things, because you verbalize one thing and your body tell me another thing now. Which is it you would like for me to accept? And they understand that you are observing them totally, and not just what they're saying. This is why people need to look on people when you're having a conversation, and don't be looking away, because by looking at them, you're gaining a lot.
And I agree now wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Greg, in your career for the numerous years that you have been doing this, what are some of the reasons that people verbalized to you that caused them to be so terrified about negotiating?
Well, a lot of people don't understand negotiating is an art. And as I am very fond of saying, all of us are always negotiating. in every aspect of your life, be it, as you said a moment ago, working in a warehouse, running a business, a spouse, a child. We are always negotiating. And as such, it behooves people to try and understand the art of negotiating. Many don't, and that's what they are most fearful of. I tell people, start anywhere. Start to learn the craft, the skills that a negotiator possesses, and in no time being many years, but nevertheless, we all start somewhere with the first step, and in no time, since you're going to be around for a lifetime, learn the craft. Just get out there and try some of the tactics and skills. So that's what I tell people, and most of the time they are fearful. They're afraid they will worsen a position that they happen to be in by not knowing what to do. So in essence, they end up accepting a deal that otherwise they could have bettered had they but known a little bit more about how to negotiate.
You're so right, Greg, because what I have learned and affirmed since I've known you and listened to your work and everything is that get the basics under your belt, and then each situation you get into, you can customize those skills for that situation. So, but if you don't know where to begin, then you go in and you get all anxious and flustered, and you come out, you know, getting less than you truly deserve. Oh, Greg, with all the technology, I forget to give people the number to call in because I'm sure people have questions. Would you allow me, please, to just do that?
Please, sir.
Callers, you can call in for question, and you're listening to Mr. Greg Williams, the Master Negotiator. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. And for the people in the chat room, if you have questions, just type it. I want to thank Pat for being on. Pat is my producer, and she's in the sunny state of Florida. Thank you, Pat. So call in with your questions. You do not need to wait until we announce that you can call in for questions. Thank you, Greg. You were saying?
You're welcome. No, well, actually, I was just talking about the fact that people need to enhance their negotiation skills. All of us already possess negotiation skills to some degree or another. As children, we actually started to perfect our negotiation skills. One parent would tell us we could not have something. We'd ask
we go
parent.
To the other one.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the same type of tactic you can use in today's business environment. Always have a backup, as it were, to achieve what it is that you're seeking from one person. If you can't get it from that person, you can go to another. The same thing with a corporation. I tell a lot of business owners, if by chance you are a small entity and you're negotiating with a corporation that happens to be significantly larger than yourself, well, then they see value in you, and thus the reason they are negotiating with you. Exploit the fact that you do have value as they perceive it, and try and hone that idea so as to pursue it to your advantage. So we all have negotiation skills within us, and there are some things that we do innately. It's that which you should watch and then capitalize on it as you progress through your life, progress through your daily activities. Catch yourself negotiating in a good environment and then capitalize on it.
Yeah, because just to piggyback on kids, you observe them, and they have stronger negotiating skills than a lot of adults and entrepreneurs and small business owners. And you mentioned the scenario about one parent or another, and tomorrow or even 2 hours later, they are right back at the beginning negotiating again. They sit quietly and they recraft their statement, and they are back negotiating. So we can learn so much from children. And the other point you just mentioned about a small business versus a large corporation, what I want to highlight there is that we as small business owners and entrepreneurs need to understand that the larger entities are buying into the value that we bring to the table. So don't go there feeling inferior, because if they did not see value, as Greg said, in what you're doing, your foot would not be in the door. So just believe in what it is that you bring to the table. Greg, if you would give people a checklist to see where they stand right now with their negotiating skills, what would that checklist look like?
Well, first of all, let me just capitalize on something you said a moment ago about the inferior perception that one might have of oneself dependent upon the entity that one was negotiating with and or against.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a different mindset when you're negotiating with someone as opposed to against someone. But if you possess an inferior complex as you enter into a negotiation, that will be manifested in your acts, in the way that you interact with the other people that you're negotiating with. They will be able to sense fear. And a good negotiator, while no one should try and intentionally take advantage of another, a good negotiator will make sure that he or she gets his or her fair share of the deal while leaving whatever remnants there are to you. So don't go in with an inferior attitude. Go in as confident as you possibly can be given any set of circumstances, and never put yourself in a do-it-or-die situation as a result of not being able to get the deal. Because if you walk into an environment of that nature with that type of mindset, you've already lost. Now, a checklist. First of all, people should observe where they currently are in the negotiation process. That's to say, whenever you negotiate, you really should have a plan by which you will implement different strategies and tactics that you'll employ as you progress through the negotiation. What I mean by that is, before you sit down at the official negotiation table, you want to sit down with yourself and any other individuals that might have a stake in the negotiation, even if it's from the perspective of just giving you advice, giving you thoughts and ideas that maybe you would not have thought of had you been by yourself. So you want to put a plan together. What is the other negotiator like? What's their environment like? Why is it that they want to negotiate with you? What is it that they really need from you? What will they do if they can't get what they need from you? What other resources can they actually turn to? How long is the sales cycle whereby they're trying to get whatever it is from you? And the sales cycle, as it's being posed in this particular scenario, is one whereby anybody is trying to solicit something from another. Okay, that's phase one, as it were. Then, prior to sitting down at the negotiation table, you also want to know what is the character and or makeup of those that you'll be negotiating with. Now, again, I use the word with as opposed to against. If you're negotiating with
that's
someone,
right, because a relationship.
Right, exactly. That creates the image in one's mind that you and the party of which you're negotiating with are basically looking at a situation and trying to figure out how both of you can maximize the situation to your benefit in order to make the negotiation process a lot easier to address. You're looking at the same situation from the same perspective. If you're negotiating against someone, some negotiators take a win-lose, a zero-sum game scenario, and what that entails is the fact that in order for them to win, from their perspective, you have to lose. And if you're negotiating against someone that is that stringent, that tough, that rough, you really are in for a different type of negotiation environment and session than you would be if you were negotiating with someone that maintained a win-win perspective, an outlook that said, hey, I know in order for me to get what I want, you have to be satisfied with what it is that you get and what you want. And if you're negotiating from a win-win perspective, you have everybody on board. Okay, that's phase two. So now you know exactly what
Greg,
the
Greg, allow me to say something before you move on. You
go
know
ahead.
One thing I hold in my mind when I'm negotiating, even if I lose the negotiation, I do not want to lose that relationship. Because I always want to go back, because maybe I lose it this time because this was not meant to be. But I want to be going again. So I really, that's one of the reasons why I don't want to negotiate against but with.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Daphne, you just gave me a nice entree into phase three. When you're negotiating and you hear the word no, no only means no. for the moment. Now, what I
That's
mean
right.
by that
That's
is
right.
somebody says no for the moment, and that means you have not substantiated either why it is that you're seeking what it is you want to the degree that you have displayed benefit to them. By adding additional benefit as they would perceive it, you can change that no into a yes. There will be times when you will have to walk away from what is the official negotiation table, but as you indicated a moment ago, Daphne, you want to do so in a manner whereby you can maintain the relationship if it's worth maintaining. Now, what I mean by that is, again, if you're in a negotiation with someone that has a zero-sum game attitude, I have to win in order for you to lose, or I have to lose in order for you to win. If you're in that type of negotiation, you want to kind of appraise, I should say, the situation is such that, do I really want to negotiate in this environment? And when you're negotiating, keep your integrity and your integrity
That's
in the uppermost part of your mind. Exactly. Because if you do so, you will be able to look yourself in the mirror in the morning, and you'll be able to say, you know what, I like you. Okay.
Unhold your head high.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That negotiation session did not necessarily go as well as it could have, but as you do a debriefing, understand, figure out what it is that could have been done differently, and that's the way you learn from negotiation sessions that you enter into.
Greg, I want you, while you catch your breath or take a sip of water, the next thing I would like for you to do is to just give information out about some of the products you have and how people can get in touch with you, please.
Oh, sure, Daphne. Thank you very much. First of all, I have a book titled Negotiate Afraid No More. And in this case, no is spelled K-N-O-W. So the title of that book is Negotiate Afraid No More. I have a DVD that goes into 11 of the most vibrant signals that people send out when they're actually negotiating. So you'll be able to learn how to read body language from that particular DVD. I also have several CDs on how to become a better negotiator. I have a 3-CD package, as a matter of fact, on that particular topic. And I have a CD on how to read body language based on physiognomics. Now, physiognomics is a science that has been around in the eastern part of the world for centuries. It has started to catch on in the western part of the world to the degree that being able to read somebody's body language and character makeup is now a physical art. That's to say, you can look at the way somebody is truly made up, that's to say their physical characteristics, and you can discern something about their characteristics and that which they possess as a result of such. That is the science of physiognomics, so I have that product. And I write a negotiation tip of the week, which is literally subscribed to by people around the world, and those that are listening can actually subscribe to that tip by going to www.themasternegotiator.com. In addition, they can send me an email to Greg, that's G-R-E-G, at themasternegotiator.com. And I can also be reached via phone at area code 609-369-2100.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love this. You know, it's the same thing when, like in psychology, and there's certain aspects that you study and the other person you're working with have no clue, and you know, well, yes, now I got an edge over them because you're studying the total package and they have no idea. So you can always summarize and analyze, and they don't know what you're doing. So those information that you're offering, everybody should try and get them so that they can help to have all these valuable tools in their toolbox to use when the time arises. Because it's not that you're going to use them every day, but trust me, for this lifetime, you're going to use them. So it's good to have
that's
them.
That's the absolute truth for sure, Daphne.
You know, yes. Yes. So we spoke about the checklist. We spoke about the information you have and some of the fears that people encounter. Let us look on the topic of salaries. And somebody is going into an organization. They went for the first interview, and now they went for the second interview. How should they approach the topic of salary?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I just spoke with an individual that I am coaching 3 days ago. And she told me that she went for an interview and was surprised because it was the first interview, and they asked her her salary range. And she said, I didn't know what to say because they don't ask salary range on the first interview, to which I replied, remember, you're always negotiating. And as such, it goes back to putting your plan together and being prepared. You always want to try and be prepared for any scenario that you might encounter when you're negotiating. So I told the individual, I said, so what did you say, first of all? She said, well, I gave a range, and then I later spoke to a colleague that told me, oh, my goodness, you were way under your range. What can I do now with the question that the individual asked me? Yeah, and I said, well, okay, there's still time to recuperate things, but understand something. When you're negotiating salary, some people perceive value on a numbers basis. What that means is if you go into a salary range and you're in a range that usually pays $100,000 for a particular job, and you ask for $60,000, you looked at with the level of suspicion of this person is not quite there. The person is not ready. Hypothetically, if you go in at that same scenario and ask for $150,000, you looked at like, wow, this person is way over my limit. Let me at least investigate why he or she is perceived as being so valuable, if in no other place
than this
person's mind. So then you start again adding value, and to the degree that you're able to start off asking for a higher price, number one, able to substantiate why you are compromising, if you have to compromise on that price, but nevertheless, by asking for that higher price, the perceived value will be there. And if you can't get the $150,000, you can then look at ways whereby you can make up some of that. One of the suggestions I passed on to the associate I spoke to that I spoke about a moment ago was the fact that I said, okay, don't worry about this now. Just send a thank you note, send the follow-up. And I asked, were there things in the person's environment that interviewed you that you picked up on, such as little personal things? And she said, well, we actually interviewed in the conference room. I said, okay, how long was the interview? She said, an hour and 20 minutes. I said, okay, so at least you maintained the interviewee's interest long enough to have them pursue it to the next step. That's to say, to keep you there long enough. But my individual told me she did not, my associate told me she did not pick up any personal things. I said, okay, nevertheless, here's what you can do. You can, in your follow-up, let the other the interviewer understand that that was your starting point. You really want to get in, display the fact that you can add value to the organization, and you're ready to speak about what occurs next.
Okay, Greg.
You can, you go ahead.
Greg, there someone in the chat room wants you to please repeat your phone number and your website.
Okay.
And someone else wants to find out whether or not the checklist you just gave me, if it's in your book.
Yes.
And number three.
Yes is the answer to that question.
Okay. And then someone else wants to know if you have any idea where one can find a compatible salary for professionals.
Okay, let's take those in order. First of all, my web address again is www.the master negotiator.com. My phone number is area code 609-369-2100. And what was the latter question that you just asked about Saturday?
Do you have an idea where one can locate a compatible salary for professionals? Like, is there a directory or any publication that have those?
I would
think maybe Department of Labor or something.
Well, you can actually go online. You can go online and basically do a Google search, because depending upon the industry for which you're seeking such information, it will be different, of course. So I would suggest that you actually go online to Google and search it there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And whenever there are other questions that come up, I will let you know.
Okay, so let's go back to the salary negotiation, if you don't mind. Okay.
Go ahead. Greg.
Okay, so with salary negotiation, because it's an intricacy that occurs when you're talking to someone that you want to impress, and at the same time you don't want to become or appear to be overbearing. I had a situation once many years ago when I was interviewing with someone, and at the end of the interview, she said, "My goodness, you know, you could come in and run the whole environment. Why would you want to come in at the level at which you're applying?" And I said, "I want to add value wherever I can."
That's right.
Now, her question had also alerted me to the fact that she was sensing danger from me, because she perceived me
exactly.
So, again, you have to position yourself when you're negotiating properly by reading body language also. You get
insight
into what a person is thinking. So when it comes to salary negotiation, make sure that you project your worth and make sure it's balanced against the perception of what it is that you're not only applying for, but how it is being perceived by the person to whom you're speaking.
Yeah, because she probably thinking, is he coming in here to take my job and all of that? Because people are so insecure. Greg, I want to let you know, you and I will continue in conversation until the other guest calls in. I will let you know when she calls in. Okay?
Oh, that's more than fine.
All right. So we just spoke about salaries and all that wonderful information. Who do you think, in your experience over the years, who is more fearful about negotiation, male or female?
Well, that's a loaded question for sure. But let me say this, because I've said it many a times in the past. Women have a tendency of being better negotiators, all things being equal, than men.
Yes!
And that is... and, you know,
I had to do that.
I hear you. I actually spoke in front of an all-female group at one particular time, and I made that statement. And someone said, "Come on now, you're only saying that because you're speaking to us." And I said, "No."
I said,
it's documented in all kinds of presentations that I've made in the past. And the reason women tend to be better negotiators, all things being equal, is because women tend to be more intuitive. Women also tend to create a bonding process prior to just jumping into business. A man will call another man, and it'll be, okay, let's get right down to business, that type of thing. Well, when you negotiate, you really do need to take time to build rapport with the other individual. And I'm going to tell you, now here's something else that's really a secret well kept. When you're negotiating with someone and you're building rapport, if you've already set a base by which you know what their body language will indicate in certain situations, you'll have more of an advantage when you really sit down and start officially negotiating, because that's one way that you actually determine somebody's body gestures. You set the base when you're in a non-threatening environment, when the two of you are in a non-threatening environment, and observe their body mannerisms. Do they cross their arms when they say something? Do they uncross their arms when they say something? Do they look away after maintaining eye contact after 5 or 6 seconds? Then when you get into a negotiation environment and you observe those same signals, observe the fact that maybe they're different than what they were when the person was in a non-threatening environment, and that will give you a sense, as it were, of what is now occurring in that person's mind. An associate of mine said recently, she's married to an Indian, and she said, well, you know, it was the darndest thing, because when I first met his family, instead of saying no, they would shake their head up and down, which to us meant yes, and I had the toughest time trying to tell them no. When you shake your head side to side, that means no, but to mm-hmm. them it meant yes. Now, I say mm-hmm. all that to say, so if in a non-threatening environment you understand, as an example, that they shake their head side to side, meaning yes, and up and down, meaning no, which is contrary to the way we convey such sentiments, you then
cultural
know if
too.
You're in. Yeah, you then know if you're in a negotiation environment that if all of a sudden they start to shake their head up and down, meaning yes to us, they really mean no. And you can pick
mm-hmm.
those signals up as you actually discern what somebody really is saying through their nonverbal gestures.
Mm-hmm. And you know another thing, Greg, why women are such great negotiators? Because we are nurturers. We are born nurturers. And I need to let you know that the child is saying yes to when you say that.
I'm sorry, Daphne.
Okay,
broke up a little bit. Say that again, please.
I am sorry. I said women are such excellent negotiators because we are born nurturers.
And you
that
know
was
what? That
one
was
point.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the other point, the chat room was shouting yes as well when you said that, so.
I hear you. Well, you know, and now see, Daphne, now here's how an astute negotiator can use that point. First of all, if someone thinks of themselves as possessing a certain trait, you
mm-hmm.
can build upon that. For example, with what you just said a moment ago, if I said to you,
mm-hmm.
Daphne, wow, you know what? I agree wholeheartedly with you because I think you are absolutely on the mark. Okay, that makes you feel
mm-hmm.
real good, right? And then if I turn around and say, Daphne, boy, can you please just help me a little bit because you're right. You are a great nurturer, and I really could
mm-hmm.
use your assistance. What I've now done
mm-hmm.
is not only give you a compliment about something that you hold dear and high in your own
mm-hmm.
possession, but at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I'm now using that thought process, as it were,
mm-hmm.
to ask you to assist me. You almost have to say
mm-hmm.
yes, depending upon what it is I'm going to
exactly.
ask you to do.
Exactly, because you just manipulate me in a positive way if there's such a thing as positive manipulation.
Oh, and I definitely believe there is such a thing as positive manipulation. If you see somebody get ready to walk in front of a car and you pull them away from it, that's positive
mm-hmm.
manipulation for sure.
That's right. Okay, Greg, I want my next guest is on, and I want to ask her just to hold on a minute. We have 7 minutes remaining, and I want to just ask you to summarize your thoughts of this presentation. And I know I owe you. I have to have you back on to give you the full time. But would you kindly summarize our conversation and
sure.
what you want the listeners who are listening now and who will listen in the future to remember this conversation by?
Yes, I will be more than glad to do so. And first of all, I am a very giving person. I give of myself in the form of my time, my knowledge, because I believe if all of us did so, we would make the world a better place. And if that sounds corny, so be it. It's the philosophy whereby I live my life. We have discussed negotiations from several different perspectives.
Greg,
okay,
please hold on. There's one more question in the chat room. Do you feel that there are differences in negotiating with someone from a different race? And you just kind of mentioned it briefly when you mentioned about Indian. But would you like to highlight on that, and then you can go ahead and summarize your thoughts, please?
Okay. There definitely is different negotiation styles dependent upon the ethnicity of the individual that you're
mm-hmm.
negotiating with. That person has come up in an environment that may be different from yours, and thus, like I indicated a moment ago about shaking of the head one way could
mm-hmm.
mean something to them, it does not necessarily mean the same to you. I used a phrase about three or so weeks ago with an individual, and the phrase was, I was trying to pull your coattail, and I was
mm-hmm.
telling my daughter that I made that phrase to this individual who happened to be in her same age group. And she said, Dad, pull your
They don't know what that means.
Exactly. She said, hey, you probably
have no clue
what you were talking about.
What so you're talking about, that's right.
Right. And what that meant as I was trying to convey it is I was trying to alert you to a situation. Now, I use that as an example of how you need to understand how the person to whom you're speaking perceives things, interprets things, and then how they will use that input in order to give you a reply. Communication only occurs if you say something, it's understood in the manner that you intended it, and you get confirmation back to such.
That's
so
right.
So you're negotiating with different people of different ethnicities. Understand, again, their base from which they come.
That's right.
And how it is that they will interpret information and try to speak to them based upon the modality by which they wish to receive information.
Good. Thank you.
Down?
Very well done.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So would now take the next 5 minutes, please, to just summarize our conversation.
Okay. Well, we started talking about negotiations from the perspective of having value. Value comes in the form of that which you possess as it is perceived by the person and or people with whom you're negotiating. We talked about putting a plan together before you actually sit down at what's known as the official negotiation table. And as I said before, you're always negotiating. In your plan, you want to develop a scenario whereby you can address what-if scenarios that may occur in the negotiation. To the degree that you are able to address those what-if scenarios sufficiently, you will end up in an easier negotiation than you otherwise would have. One of the things that I did not mention as we were discussing this very, very energetic topic, at least to me anyway, is the fact that as you are negotiating, you need to make sure that you have detours put into your plan of how you will go about negotiating. That's to say, if by chance something occurs in the negotiation that takes you to another course of action, you know how to get back on the path that you need to be on in order to keep the negotiation progressing down the path of success. Success is determined by that which the individuals that are negotiating perceive it to be. It will change. It's fluid, and as such, you have to be fluid as the negotiation progresses. If you encounter a negotiation situation whereby you had not anticipated it, call a timeout. Nobody
That's
wants
right.
to kill you.
Take
get
a break. Catch some fresh
table.
Air.
That's right. That's exactly right, Daphne. Make sure that you
everybody needs a potty break. You know.
There you go. For sure.
If you're not bold enough to call the timeout, call a potty break.
Exactly. And the thing is, the point of that matter is, don't place yourself in a situation where you start to become irrational simply because you're pressured by a take-it-or-leave-it situation, a situation you had not contemplated, or things of that nature. Just make sure that you adhere to the plan that you put in place as you are mobile enough to manipulate yourself within the processing of that plan, and you will definitely end up negotiating much more for greater things in your life and for those that you care and love for the most.
All right. Well, the master negotiator has delivered again. And, Greg, I want to thank you for being so gracious and generous with your time and the knowledge that you have acquired over the years. And tell your mama that I thank her so much for that investment in you.
For all the mamas out there in the world, by all means, you do hold mankind in your hand.
Yes. Greg, again, I thank you. I thank you for doing God's work, and I'm sure we will be talking soon.
Thank you, Daphne, for taking the time to have me.
Thank you, and I look forward to having you again in the near future. Stay blessed.
Okay, goodbye. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Miss Chantel.
Hello, Daphne.
Good morning. How are
you? I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for coming on this morning. And I want to just welcome Ms. Chantel Pitts out of New York. Chantel is a great friend and an extreme professional. And she decides she wants to come on this morning and get into conversation with me about our business image, because, you know, too many people going around with the wrong image. And I mean, if we are looking for people to pay us big bucks, our stuff need to be together and look the part of what we are demanding. So I know Chantel does a great job at that and has agreed to come on this morning. So we welcome you, Miss Chantel. And for the listeners and the people in the chat room, the people who want to call in and speak to Chantel, please do so. The number is 646-915-8166. And like we have been doing all morning, if you're in the chat room and have a question, please type it and I will relay the question to Chantel. Okay, Chantel, would you please take a few minutes and tell the listeners about you? Tell them as much or as little as you want to tell them, but just get them to like you as much as I do.
Oh, sure. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Chantel Pitts. My company is called Black Hat Design. I'm a print designer. I've had a good 10-plus years experience working in the industry. I design various print materials from brochures, newsletters, posters, banners, billboards. I create logos for companies, you know, since the topic is business image, so that does come in handy. And primarily, I work out of Harlem, so primarily my that's my base, but I've worked with companies all over the country from Texas, Louisiana, and Houston, and California. So I'm definitely not limited to being in the New York area. And it's something that I enjoy what I do. It's a passion that I've had ever since I was a little girl looking at my father draw. So it's just something that I've just picked up. And over the years, I've, you know, did my best to hone my craft and to really just help my clients in communication, because that's really what I am. It's a communicator, and trying to help clients communicate their ideas, communicate their services, communicate their products to their audiences.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I have to just tell the listeners, oh, Chantel is the shyest person on. So I am so proud to have her on here. And
after years of trying.
After years of priors, here she is. And, oh, she has just blossomed this morning. So for those people who are listening and you have anybody you're working with who is nervous and all of that and want to remain in the background, when you see that they have a skill and a talent that you want to highlight and embrace, stick with them because they do bloom and blossom. Well, Miss Chantel, I'm so proud, girl. I don't think you know how proud I am. I have to tell them something else, because she was so nervous about coming on until she called in last week when it wasn't her time for the show.
I was so nervous. I thought it was last week.
That was last week, but the difference a week has made. So let us, Chantel, start at the beginning.
Sure.
We know that, you know, small business people, entrepreneurs, they say, oh, I ain't got no business card because I ain't got no money, mm-hmm. you know. And how do you answer a question like that? Everybody going into business, what are the basics that you think they need to start with?
Well, the basics, naturally, it comes down to, I guess the best way I can say it is, if that person were approaching a business, what would they expect that business to have? You know, if you're going to be giving money to someone to do some work for you, what do you expect them to, you expect them to present themselves to you? So naturally,
mm-hmm.
a business card is the first step, excuse me, and that's, you know, like the first introductory that establishes that you are, you know, legitimate in some way. And you want to have it looking correctly. You want to have it looking professionally. You want to present something that's good. And when people say, I don't have any money for all these things, it costs too much to do all these things, think of the money that you're losing or not making by not having them or not having them done correctly.
That's right. That's right.
Thinking in
terms
of that
right.
way. It's just the first step in having an establishment, the first step of having a legitimate business. It doesn't have to be, you know, all out and all fancy or whatever. You know, it really depends upon your taste and what your business is
That's
and what
right.
your industry
That's
is.
Right.
But definitely having something to hand to a client to, you know, say that, hey, I'm a legitimate business, here I am.
It's like somebody coming over for dinner, and it's the first time you invite them over.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to just dive into the food unless it looks presentable.
Exactly.
You know? It has to be presentable. Chandel, someone in the chat room wants to know, is there a process similar to developing a mission statement? If in your career, is that something you help a company design to?
No, usually I come in after that. I'm more of the person
okay.
after the marketing research has been done. And I get the information
mm-hmm.
of what kind of client, you know, you're looking for, what kind
mm-hmm.
of business you are. That's when I step
mm-hmm.
in.
Right. So they come with their mission statement and their vision
mm-hmm.
and their demographics. And you
Correct.
Create a logo to fit
mm-hmm.
that mission. Okay.
Right.
Great. You know, and I, honestly, I don't want to be hitting, I know they have those 250 free business cards on things.
Yes, they do.
And I don't want to hit it, but it really, really and truly does not.
It
they are not geared toward our individual skills and talents and taste.
Well, think
so,
about it.
But,
I mean, would IBM have a business card that if you flip it over, there's a little, you know, I hate to say, give out the names of these companies, but they wouldn't have another company's website or printed by
Mm-mm.
this person, you know, on the back of their business
Mm-mm.
card. They just wouldn't.
Oh, no.
It's just not, unfortunately, it's nice for personal things. It's nice for keeping in touch with your friends or whatever, but I think for a business.
Your family
really
or your cousin or your. That's
Everybody
right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, I learned because, let's face it, we are all on tiny budgets,
mm-hmm.
short, very short shoestring budget
exactly.
as entrepreneurs when we start. But one of the things that can really help to elevate that budget is the image that we walk out there with.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's amazing. People take your business card and they keep it. A lot of times, Chandel, I get calls from people who have my number for 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They got my card at an event, and they didn't do anything, and they kept it. So make sure it looks attractive. It is saying who you are. And the other thing I have learned, too, it is to your disadvantage to keep changing your phone numbers. You should try and keep the same phone number because you don't know when people will try to get in touch with you.
Yes, make it easy for people to reach you.
Yes. The other thing I want to ask, with all the programs on the computer now, from your professional experience, are you still recommending that we have letterheads?
Well, yes. I mean, I think having the whole business package is important. I mean, like I
yeah.
said, a business should have a letterhead, should have an envelope, should have a business card. That's just the basic. You know, that's
yes.
The basic thing that you start with because that's what people expect from you. That's what you would expect from another business. If I send
mm-hmm.
out a business letter to someone, that's what they expect to see. You know,
mm-hmm.
even though we do a lot of emailing and even though we do a lot of texting and all the other things, there's still
mm-hmm.
absolutely nothing wrong with having good old-fashioned letterhead.
Exactly. Because you know something? I asked that question
for a selfish reason. Sure. You know, I have a lot of guests on the show, and a lot of times people send me their bio sketch and what appears to be a letterhead. And when I'm ready to copy the whole thing to put it on the blog or in the description about them, all of a sudden I find out that it's a header that's up here and there's no way I can copy everything to really put them out to show and to illustrate the image that they come with. And then I spend a lot of time trying to get that. So for those people who are listening me, and if you're going to be on my show, please don't send me that thing that is causing me so much challenge to copy, because every time I try to do it, it is separating and I can't get it there. So, you know, maybe save a copy of your letterhead as it is designed on your computer, and then you just put the text on there, and then people won't have such challenge. So there, I got my selfish question out of the way.
You said it. You had it done. You said it.
Yes. Trifold brochures.
Yes.
Oh, boy, sometimes you see them and they have everything. The only thing that's not on there is the waterbed and the bathtub.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to be, I guess, concise in what you want to put on there. You can't put everything under the sun there. You just, the main points of what you want to convey, what you want to communicate to your clients. That's really all. I've seen many, you know, trifold brochures with, you know, just overloaded with text and, you know, the logo is huge and all these other things. And when I'm designing, I try my best to educate my clients in saying that, you know, your logo doesn't have to be this huge, and that every ounce of the paper does not have to be filled up with text. White space, which is a place which is on what's on the page that doesn't have any contained
text. Clean and
graphics,
chic.
It's it's important in design. It's important to balance. You have to have something that people would want to read, and if it's too complicated or if it's all over the place, they're not going to take a look at it. They're not going to want to read it.
If it's cluttered and everything, they don't want to look at it.
No,
but if
really
it's
don't.
Clean and chic, it's attractive, and it pulls their attention.
Correct. And that's the goal,
All right.
Idea.
Okay. Now, when you sit in consultation with your clients, how does the color choices come? Do you decide on what colors or they suggest the colors they want? Because I know that certain colors have certain specifications,
meanings
and all of that.
It's both. I mean, sometimes a lot of clients come to me with ideas and colors already, and sometimes they have no idea. So we can sit down and think about, you know, it comes down to sometimes it's the easiest question for me to ask is, what color don't you like? What color do you hate?
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
So I know
exactly.
Immediately what you don't want, and then we can go through the colors that you like. And yes, certain colors, you know, reds are very powerful colors, and black is a very powerful color. Believe it or not, white is a very powerful color too. So we have tons and tons of color options to use, and narrow it down to what you feel is appropriate. And depending upon logo design and printing, I can honestly say four-color printing is not as expensive as it used to be. There's lots of places that you can get, you know, brochures and business cards printed rather not cheap,
inexpensive.
But a lot more expensive than it used to be.
Especially in New York, in New York area. You know,
even online.
We that live out in Connecticut, I mean, we have to win the lottery to print, to provide four-color printing here.
Right.
But, you know, I thank God for you in New York that allows me, and I have another printer because I just realized that my niece, my ex-husband's niece, owns a printing company in Brooklyn. So that's something, someone else I have to turn you on to. So
you
can have more than one person,
No, I said lucky you, but I do have a number of printers that I work with, and certain printers are good with certain things. So not every printer can handle what you want. I have a printer that specifically does postcards because they're less expensive and they have very good quality. There's another printer I use that I just sent some work out for. who does very good invitations. I like the way he
cares
about my work. I don't do online printers that much, even though they've come in handy. But if you go online, you do have, even though they have these places that, oh, we'll print in 24 hours, we'll print in 48 hours.
Oh, please.
It doesn't mean that you're going to get your job at that time. It just means that that's when they'll
print
it for you.
That's right. That's
give
right.
Give yourself a good week
that's
or
right.
week and a half just to turn your work around.
Yeah.
But finding a good printer, it's just very important because they know who you are. They know your needs. If they have a question,
that's right.
They
and your style.
Day, they called me. So I prefer to do local with that. Because, you know, it's just a personal
Yeah, because you are like me. You touchy feely and you want to see what you're giving your client, and that's one of the things that has attracted me to you. You do not send out sloppy work, and your team does not send out sloppy work because you expect you inspect Shandell what you expect, and this is what I want the listeners to know. It doesn't matter where you are, because she can ship your work overseas wherever you are, but I can tell you. You're not going to have any complaint when you get it because she's in there, she's in that print shop inspecting what she expects because she don't want the phone ringing after her customer gets. So at least something you can trust, you know, and
well,
she's extremely professional.
Well, the bottom
Go
line
ahead.
Is my customer's happiness. I have to make, you know, it's making them look good. And if my customers don't look good to their clients, you know.
You don't look good.
I don't look good. So that's one of the last things I want to happen. And so whether I send a job to a printer or another, you know, or illustrator or whatever, it reflects on me. And,
Exactly.
On the client.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So we know you do business cards. We know you do letterhead. We know you do logos. And when people think of graphic design, they look at it as only those things. But a graphic designer can also do work on book covers and things like that, right? Print designer. And that's we need to put that up in the chat room because I've been stuck old school talking about graphics, but it is print, and print covers everything. Print design.
Whatever is printed, whatever is, you know, it's print. It's, you know, book covers. It's books themselves. I have a couple of books that I've designed. I recently had an ad designed in Ebony Magazine for Colgate and Olive. I mean, it's just anything print-related. That's
Congratulations.
What I do.
Congratulations. So what are some things we can look forward to from Shandell? Would you think of getting more in like an ad agency or something? I know you have some experience in that area.
Yeah, my background is advertising. That's what I went to school for. Graphic design just came out of I took a graphic design class, and that's how I guess I got shifted into one other area. I guess the next step for me right now is exploring the wonderful world of the internet and getting into web design, which is just as important as print coming up now. So that's the next step for me. One of the things I talk about a lot about helping my clients to come up with an image and all the other things, a lot of times designers forget that their image is just as important. So
that's
what I'm working
that's
on,
right.
too. Is revamping my design, my website, revamping my image, stepping it up for myself, and so that should be coming up in the future months of trying to get this together. It's exciting. It's a new area, a new chance to learn.
Yes,
something. So it should
yes.
be fun.
Yes, and it's the same thing with myself too. You know, social media is where everything is happening now. And with that being said, we no longer need to just do business in New York or Connecticut or East Coast or the U.S. We can do business anywhere in the world. And for the kind of work that you do, Shandell, I'm so excited that you are revamping your website and really kick it up. because people really need to see what you do. So wherever they are in the world, they can be utilizing what you do. Because I know not every print designer or slash graphic designer can put into print what you dictate to them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say yes, and they write what you say, and when you look at it, you wonder, were we at the same place in the same conversation?
It's important to communicate clearly. For a good example, I did a work, I did they're called rack cards. They're for tourist companies to communicate to their clients. And she wanted something that was, I guess, what's the word she said? She wanted something that was, it just went out my head. What she asked for and what I thought were two different things. You know, her idea was very 60s. Oh, I know. It was something for Brooklyn. So she wanted something bohemian. And so when I think of bohemian, I think something that's a little on the grittier side, a little bit more on the, you know, urban side, you know, a little like, you know. Her thoughts of bohemian was 1960s, flower child, and all that other stuff. So those are just
different
two totally
era.
different things. And so, you know, that was a miscommunication because she just said that, but I didn't go deeper into, okay, what does that mean?
Right, you have to really probe. You have to probe to make sure. And, you know, there are no limits to the questions that you ask. Just keep probing to make sure that that you are understanding what I am telling you. I want to do a shout out to some people in the chat room. I have been neglecting them. I want to, Patricia, I thank you for stopping by. And guest number 356, thank you. And PK John, thank you for stopping by. And if you have any questions, please, if you do not want to call in, just type it. We are now on with Miss Chandel Pitts, and she is a print designer out of New York. That's where her corporate base is, but she is available to anyone from wherever you are, and she is magnificent at what she does.
Stop it.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm telling you. You are hooked with me for life, girlfriend. I am not going any place. I'm telling you.
You won't let me.
No, you are so good. I'm telling you. Yes, so you were talking about communicating clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And just like it is your responsibility as the print designer to probe. As a client, you have the right to ask the person, do you understand what I mean?
Exactly.
And have them repeat to you what you intended them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's very important.
Well, for most clients, I was saying for most clients, I do give like a brief or some kind of a proposal.
Yes.
So when I write the proposal, I talk about what it is that you want. And definitely the client has every right to ask tons of questions. It's helpful. I enjoy working with clients who have an idea of what they want because really I've always said that I'm taking their words and making it visual. And the more words they give me, the more visual clues I have. And it's so helpful. Like I said, if a client already has an idea or a thought or, you know, a direction, because then it's, you know, then it's kind of easy. Not so easier, but it's easy for me to hone in on what they want, what their vision is. And the clients that – there are some clients that I do work with who have no clue or idea. And, you know, you kind of have to help them and guide them in a way, but it's a little harder because sometimes if you don't have a clue or idea what you want, I have no clue or idea what you want.
That's
so
right.
It's hard. But definitely working with a designer, whatever designer you pick, just have a clear idea of what you want And that would be so, so helpful. Trust me, we would love you for that forever.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, don't ever think that you're talking too much and you're saying too much.
Nope.
Because before it goes to that print shop, you want to make sure it is what you want. Don't wait until the box is delivered at your door. Then you're going to be losing it and saying, this is not what you want, you know? You have to be sure before all of that go. And bear in mind that you are hiring this person to deliver. So if you don't get what you want, you are going to be dissatisfied. They are going to be unhappy that they didn't give you what you want. So you need to, from the beginning, start and let this relationship be a win-win for both people.
Correct. Don't be afraid to say no.
Okay.
You don't like this. You know, it's okay.
That's right.
If you don't like this, then okay, I already know what you don't like. Let's move on to something you do like. I mean, there's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no such thing as a stupid thought. It's communication. And that's the goal,
that's right.
The key, and that's how we come up with your image.
Right. Okay, Chantel, I want to ask you to just tell people right now how they can get in touch with you before we continue our conversation.
Oh, sure. You can get in touch with me. My telephone number is 718-753-0244. My email address is Shondell@blackcatdesign.com. I was going to the new
the new site.
Let's go with the old one still. blackcatdesign@verizon.net. And my website, which is the old one, is blackcat-design.net. And all these things in the coming months will be updated to being reflecting a new email address, new website address, new website, the works.
And what is your approximate turnaround time, Chantel, if somebody has a job for you? And let's talk about postcards. Let's break them down, because I know, too, that it depends on your workload. But what is your...
The ideal... But yes, ma'am?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ideally, I guess depending on what it is, we'll go with the logo first. When I meet with somebody, we discuss what they want. I always tell them, give me a good 3 or 4 days just to explore concepts on my end, because that's when I'm usually thinking about it. I sketch it out. That very first day when we were talking, I really don't have an idea, but it kind of sinks in on me, sinks in later as I go along. So give me a good, I said from a logo design to actually seeing a proof, a first draft, for me it would take roughly 5 to 7 days. And then from there on, depending on if you like the logo, we do revisions or whatever. But usually within a logo design, I'm done in 2 weeks. That's ideally.
All right.
With postcards and brochures, you know, it's roughly the same, I would say. For a postcard, a lot of times it's, sometimes my clients want them immediately, so it takes me a couple of days. But for me, I like to have a good week to do everything. A week to 3 to 5 days just to give you a layout of what I'm going to do. Let's see. Brochures, I would say 2 weeks for a brochure because it's a lot of going back and forth. But it's time. I mean,
right. So the bottom line, don't be waiting for the last minute.
Please don't.
Call and rush the thing in, because then you asking for frustration for both yourself and the designer. So, you know, take into consideration you want a good job, you need it to be thorough, you need good presentation and all of that. So don't wait for the last minute, because it has to be designed, not in a rush. There's a lot of time that go into getting all the creative juices flowing. Got
also
to go printing. It has to be shipped.
Important to proof, because, you know, get other
people.
If you're doing something for you, after a while of working on it, we both don't see it. You know, we exactly. miss things. So always have a fresh pair mm-hmm. of eyes looking over you to make sure
oh, yes.
correct. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it happens. I've sent things out to.
Oh yes, it happens. It happens with me too.
That lady's name.
You know, I have. Mm-hmm. I have a friend. I ask her to check my schoolwork because mm-hmm. when I write the papers. And when I'm reading it, I'm reading what's in my head, not necessarily
exactly.
what's on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing goes into everything. Everybody, something can miss.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my Lord, and there's some people who just have an eye for that kind of thing.
Yep.
So if you are one of those people, God bless you. You know?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. What's another important... aspect of what you do that I have not yet mentioned.
Another important aspect.
We spoke about the flyers and we spoke about the trifold, the brochures and all of that. Flyers. Let me ask you about flyers, and because I know you have a bit of marketing experience too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend business startups like do flyers and do like a mass mailing to get your name out there or something?
Honestly, no. Trying to think of when I first started my company, I had the basics, you know, business card, letterhead, and the works. For me, it really wasn't mass mailing. To me, honestly, it was just word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
When I got that first client who just basically opened up doors to me for so many other places by recommendations
mm-hmm.
and also people seeing my work. And then they just, you know,
right.
they called me because of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would definitely use the online things, the internet and all that other stuff before you
mm-hmm.
really go out and if you're already established, you already have like a client base, you can send out print materials
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But I think when you're first starting
right.
out, you want to be careful
mm-hmm.
with your money. So definitely
mm-hmm.
Using the internet, you can still use flyers. You can send them
mm-hmm.
PDFs. You can send them
mm-hmm.
HTML emails and all the other things. But
mm-hmm.
certain businesses, you need flyers. I mean, there's certain businesses,
right.
we get them outside all the time. But
mm-hmm.
Honestly, I really wouldn't. That's my
okay.
opinion.
Now, there are other services other than print design that you do. What are some of those
mm-hmm.
services?
Well, like I said, HTML, email, getting into web design.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, primarily that.
Don't you do newsletters too?
Oh, yeah, newsletters, but that's print design.
Yeah, see? Okay.
Anything
yeah,
print
but you know something?
What I
do. Mm-hmm. There's some of us who are probably old school and we look on print design and we don't even include newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm kind of singling it out for a lot of people to hear.
It's good for a captured audience. Then you can really,
mm-hmm.
what you can't put in your trifold, you can put into your newsletter and all this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely newsletters are very helpful. They can be anywhere from 2 pages to on up.
Right. Because I was going to ask you what the size of the newsletter needs to be. You answered that already.
Oh, I mean, there's newsletters that are, you know, smaller. There are newsletters that are fold outs. I mean, it's really,
mm-hmm.
There's no limit to just an 8.5 by 11 page, although that's a
most right.
expensive, least costly, but I've had
mm-hmm.
newsletters that are 11
mm-hmm.
by 17 and up.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. So we mentioned about the basic packet and all of that everybody needs to start with. Let us think about paper quality. I want to touch on... go back to the letterheads
mm-hmm.
and the paper. I know I was taught that your letterhead needs to match your envelope and
mm-hmm.
on all of that. Is that still the trend?
Yes and no. I've seen letterheads and envelopes and business cards that are all different colors. I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ideally, that would be nice to have everything look cohesive, but I've seen them different. I mean, there are definitely rules, and then there are rules that you can break. But you can't break the rules until you understand what they are.
Mm.
I know that sounds weird. But I've seen them all over. I've seen them. But I guess to start out, it's helpful to have everything look cohesive.
Right. So let me ask you, even for an entrepreneur or a small business owner, what would a corporate image look like? Because if you're going to approach, like before with Master Negotiator on, we're talking about small business going in to negotiate with a larger corporation and all of that. Mm-hmm. Now, for that reason, would you recommend to a small business owner even to have a small stack of cohesive image with whatever they are going to send to larger companies?
Yes, I mean, like I think we said before, having different colored letterhead in my industry, in the graphic design industry, like I said, I've seen business cards and letterheads, and they're all different colors, different, you know, I'm creative. So I guess it's almost like it's expected to be a little bit out there. I think if you have a more traditional business, it does help to have your letterhead, your business card, your envelopes have this, be the same stock, have the same color ink and all those other things. It, you know, like I said, it comes down to what you expect from another company that you're doing business with. Therefore, you present the same thing.
Someone in the chat room is asking if you're saying that word of mouth is effective when starting a business. I had just started a business and I'm trying to promote it, but it's hard. Do you have any suggestions?
What's helped me out a lot is just joining a business organization. If there's like a neighborhood small business organization, a networking organization, I got my start through an organization called Harlem Business Alliance. Excuse me. And they're definitely very helpful in helping Harlem small businesses specifically. You know, out there, they help with marketing, they help with financing, they help with just having a voice to talk to the government about what's going on in Harlem. They're very instrumental in helping me. If it wasn't for them, honestly, I would not be here. And that's from them, that's when I met one of my first big clients. But definitely networking is definitely the way to go. I would not recommend, like some people say, would I do things for free? And that's a trap I've done in the beginning, only because you're just eager to get.
And some people manipulate.
Yes.
Some people manipulate that, you know?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, they just manipulate. I wouldn't recommend that at all. Or if you do something for free, you set the rules on how it's going to be done, with the, you know, limited amount
exactly.
of time and the work.
Exactly. And not repeatedly. Because this person is out in, the person that asked this question is in Tennessee. So this person should look around to find out what are some local things that is happening in the area. Because you know something, and I'll tell her, what is working for me a great deal is the social media. And, you know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on all of them. So get out there. And be part of all these different social media network, and get your name out there. Get people to understand how you add value. And when you have people, Patricia, understanding how you add value, then they will be in a position to help you sell your business. And I'm going to ask her, what type of business are you in? Let me ask her that question, because if she can tell us what type of business she's in, then we can be more specific as to the information we are going to give her. What type of business are you And yeah, because I know for me, relationships is the key. Because even when you're going into the large corporation, okay, well, now she's doing traditional housing for women. So now find all the things in your area that deals with things to do with women, you know, women organization, the social services, the local social services. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the housing, the local housing authority. Do you have any other input for that, Chantel?
She'd go to banks. I mean, she's
to the banks.
Mm-hmm. Banks
and churches. Churches,
yes,
too.
Churches are starting a lot of real estate organizations to build up their neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely churches.
And for that, yeah. Let me ask you: would you recommend or suggest rather that she could probably get some flyers down and distribute them to the various churches about what it is she's offering? And
that
maybe
she
for
do.
That she could, huh?
That she can do. I mean, if it's, it comes down to being as targeted
specific.
And specific. I mean, just to give a general flyer out to everybody, that's not going to work.
No.
You'll have, you know, if you have
1,000
flyers, it will go to waste. But if you have a specific organization in mind or a specific target, then sure, it'll come in handy. But like I said, definitely do the online media. Definitely check out places that specifically deal with women's issues and also housing.
Right.
Because that's a hot topic
so,
now, especially with all the foreclosures.
She says here she's helping women get out off of drugs, getting GED, getting off welfare, building self-esteem. So perfect. What I just mentioned to her, you know, going into the housing authorities, go to the churches to deliver your flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can ask, can I come in to give a briefing to the women's group about what it is I am doing? And I want you to know, Patricia, I'm giving you my my personal email. I am here to serve. So if you think that there's anything that I can do to help you in this area, there is my email address. You email me and I can see what I can do for you. But just know that the relationships is the key. And you just need one or two people to buy into what you're doing. And have people who you have helped tell somebody else.
Testimony
because,
is very good.
Yes. You know, I don't know whether or not she has a website yet. So you can let me know that. Patricia, do you have a website yet? So I will look for that answer. And Chandel, can you believe we only have 17 minutes remaining?
No.
Where did the time go? And guess what? You are still alive.
Yes, I am.
You are still alive and kicking.
Haven't had a heart attack. I'm still here.
So, Patricia, do you have a website? So we are finding out whether she. Oh no, she doesn't have one yet. She is. Have you started working on websites yet, Chantel?
A little bit. I've been tinkering around with my own. So and other
okay.
people.
So maybe, Patricia. You can probably have a conversation with Chandel and see how that can work out for you. Give her your phone number again, Chantel, and your website, please.
Oh, sure. Phone number is 718-753-0244, and my email address, blackcatdesign@verizon.net. If she needs to reach me.
Good. Let me see if she get that. Yes, so whatever we can do to assist you, and all of that. I'm typing and talking at the same time because I guess Pat was doing it from work, so she probably has a client or something. So she's no longer on. Mm-hmm. So how would you like, not how, but would you please summarize your thoughts for our conversation, Chantel?
Okay, well, I guess summary is just talking about, I think we started talking about business image and how important it is. I guess one of the points is definitely having your basic package, letterhead, business card, envelopes is important.
She wants you to please repeat your information and please do it slower for her. Are you there? Chantel? Hello? Chantel? Okay. Patricia, she got disconnected, and she will call back in. She just called back in. Hello?
Back
in. That's okay. She wants you to please repeat your information and do it a bit slower for her, please.
Okay,
She can get at
718-753-0244.
0244.
Mm-hmm.
And it's www.blackcatdesign.com/design.
My new website address will not
dash
have that dash in there.
design.com. That's design.com, right?
Blackcatdesign.net.
All right.
We are working on simplifying that address.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I had to do the same thing when I just started. I had that dash in there, and nobody would remember that, man. So I had to remove that baby. And,
it comes down to making it easy for your clients to contact you.
That's right, and that's the bottom line, you know. Always redo, remodify, and keep fresh, because nothing is carved in wood. Yeah, so back to the summary. I wanted just to highlight the basics that people need to keep focus on that for the basic. And you can have the basic look professional and you don't have to spend an arm and a leg, as people say, meaning you don't have to have an exorbitant price.
No, I mean,
right?
Find someone who can work with. I mean, if someone tells me what their budget is, then I can make the changes, you know, if they can't afford.
Exactly.
This, I can try and do this. I mean, it just comes down to being clear. Some people have no idea what things cost, but it'd be helpful if you asked around. Designers don't like to work in the dark, because if you say, this is what I want, you know, I want this, and I do the proposal, then all of a sudden it's way more than what you expected. It would be helpful if you told me what you expected the first time.
What's your budget?
Exactly.
What's your budget for that?
But I work with anyone. Everything is workable. I mean, there's a way to work around certain things. I can't design for, I think what they say, cheap design isn't good and good design isn't cheap. So you have to keep in a situation in mind that, yes, you're going to have to spend something. But
exactly.
Just, you know.
Get a good image and print less.
Definitely.
Instead of going to somebody who don't know what they're doing and get 5,000, that does not look good.
And
also
think about what you're missing by not having those things. It may be expensive, you know, it may be too expensive, but think of what the clients that you haven't gotten because you don't have the image that they're expecting from you. So just thinking.
I tell you, Chantel, every time my new business cards that I got through you, every time I hand one to somebody, wow, this feels good. And I'm just getting accustomed to it. Everybody says that first, even before they read it. So just the feel of the card. People are saying, oh my God, this feels good. And then they flip the card and they read it. And I said, it's amazing. It's amazing, you know. People always read this. There has not been a person that took that card from me and dropped it in their pocketbook or something. They always comment on the feel of the card, and then they read the card. So I know they're not going to throw it in the trash, because they already like how it feels and everything like that. So they are going to be keeping it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have people call me later. And I'm saying I've had people who call me later who, you know, I've got my card is, it's not black. My card actuality is yellow and green with black type. And it's a card that I love the colors because it's so bright. And I can always spot it from across the room. If I put my card down on the table and I, you know, and other people's cards are there, I can always see my card. And
here's an idea for me. Ooh, I need to think of a new card. And I love purple. So what we going to do with that? We going to, but that card also have to be able to be masculine as well. Because remember that.
Yes, your partner.
Yes, and he's asking, oh, did you talk to Chantel? I said, not yet. Send her an email. Send her an email. So it's Chantel, I just want to thank you for coming on and being so gracious with your time and really enlightening us and let us get a true understanding that not because we don't have an overflowing budget, we still need to have an elite image.
Exactly. Image is important.
Image is important, and image is going to take us further. You know, it's people look at me a lot of times and they say, why do you always have on a suit?
Mm-hmm.
I had a sweatsuit on this past Saturday, and my friend said, whoa. I said, what happened? And she said, I've never seen you dressed like that. I said, hey, I was just coming to your house. And the thing is, I tell people, I never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why we need to have a positive image. Because if you put your cards at a beauty salon or a nail salon or somewhere, you want people to glance at it and take a second look and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
If it just blends in with everything else in that place, you're not standing out. So it is important.
Not, you know,
go ahead.
They may not, if they see your card, they may not need your services immediately. But, you know, if they keep your card around or they keep something of your, some image of your business around, then, you know, you've, I guess in a way made an impression. And that person will most
likely
call you.
That's right. And they will. And they will tell somebody about you. Oh, by the way, I picked that card up the other day, and what you're talking about is what that person do. Okay, what would you like to close with, Chantel?
Oh, I guess closing with thank you very much for having me on your show.
That was quick. But anyhow, we have 7 minutes that I want to use to do some housekeeping. And I want you to just hang around just in case somebody decides to call in at the last minute like they always do to ask a question. But I too want to thank you for coming in and educating my listeners and myself. And I want to just update people that next Wednesday on the 18th, we are having two very prominent positive women. One is Pepper Miller, and Pepper Miller is going to be will be in conversation with me around the African American market, and she has a book called "What's Black About It." And then we all the way from Scotland. We have Jan Mollock, and Jan is going to be talking with us about remaining positive about everything that we do, you know. So That's next show coming up. Then on the 25th, we will be having Muriel Mouton out of Georgia, and she will be discussing with us about knowing our values. And for those of you who have not yet become friends of mine, I want you to go on the website www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. And please, please, please help a sister out. Mm-hmm. I need you to mark my show favorite. Leave some comments for me so I know how we are doing, because we need to grow this show. And I need your help in doing so. So send your friends there. The episodes are all on demand, and you can listen and take notes, and you can share them with other people. You can tweet them. You can blog about them, but just share with others. I also would like for you to support me by picking up a copy of my book. It's Conversations on Success. Candid, insightful, inspirational, and entertaining. I want you to pick a copy of that up. I am a participating/contributing author. Now, Dr. Ken Blanchard, Diana Boher, and T. Boyd. And I would like for you to support me there by picking up a copy of my book on that website. I also want to encourage you to call and if you have any questions about negotiating, to call Greg and call Chantel. Remember, there are no stupid questions. Anything you need clarity on, she's there to serve and to help you to understand how you can get the best image for your business. And remember that she is not only, she is based in New York, but have talent, will travel. So it means that wherever you're listening from, she has the ability and capability to work with you. Again, this is the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I am so gracious that you took the time to join us this morning, the master negotiator, Ms. Chantel Pitts, print designer out of New York, and for all the people in the chat room, and for all you who are listening via your computer, I love and greatly, greatly appreciate you. Remember to come back and join me next week, and look on my blog, and you will see the magnificent lineup of guests that I have coming on in the near future. I'll tell you, we have the best of the best coming, because I want to make sure that next year we are ready to soar like eagles in our finances. And I am here to remind you to follow your destiny. Remember that you do not settle for mediocrity, because you were created for excellence. Have a blessed day. Have a magnificent weekend. And thank you again for joining the A New Day Show. Stay blessed. So long. And thank you again, Chantel, for being on.
My pleasure.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I try. trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.